How do we work with a shame response that mimics depression? As I know you know, the clinical connection between shame and depression is strong, but according to Dr. Stan Tatkin, there's a much healthier kind of connection that can relieve shame and pull our clients out of a depressive state. Stan explains more.
As a psychobiologist, I look at shame from various points of views. One of them has to do with arousal regulation. Shame is a deeply parasympathetic state. In fact, it's so deep that it's very close to the experience of anaclitic depression. It can really debilitate somebody from being able to operate for maybe a day or two. It's very much connected to deep, deep depression. And if it isn't well regulated in childhood, which often it isn't, it goes unregulated, and people who begin to dip into that very low parasympathetic state have a very, very hard time getting out of it. Now, technically, those of us who understand the neurobiology of shame, this is guided very much by the unmyelinated, the 10th cranial nerve, the vagus nerve, the unmyelinated dorsal motor vagal system. And that has a particular look. A person who is feeling ashamed or very, very depressed will typically lower their head, lower their eyes, roll their shoulders over. Sometimes you can see a lengthening of the face as all the striated muscles in the face are loosening up. Sometimes you lose color, the pupils constrict, and the subjective experience sometimes, if it's very, very strong, is feeling nauseous, ears ringing, no sense of humor, no perspective. So it's a concerning state of mind. People who have been traumatized, people who have done things that they feel ashamed of because they've never talked to anybody. So this is a deeply interpersonal issue. We wouldn't probably feel ashamed if we were raised by wolves, I don't know, but it seems to be very much a part of the human experience interpersonally. In session, we want people to, since I work as a couple therapist, we want people to maintain close eye contact. And the reason for that is that when we feel ashamed, we feel cut off. The experience is like being cut open with our guts spilling out. That's why it's very much connected to that anaclitic depression feeling, because we feel entirely helpless and trapped. We can't run and we can't fight. So the way that shame ordinarily becomes regulated is with another person. And if you're working individually, that would be you, the therapist, working with eye contact, close eye contact, because we need that close visual system that picks up fine muscle movements in the pupils and so on. But it's very connected to shame reduction. A friendly face, somebody who's there to hold it, not comment, not criticize. The experience of friendly and loving touch, though in individual therapy you wouldn't do that, but as a couple therapist, I'm able to employ the partner to do this. And so that partner becomes, in that moment, the person who should have been there during other times of shame that would have regulated the state. In other words, the person feeling shame gets to lower the experience because it's not simply in their head. It's now a shared experience, and they're not being attacked for it. But also, the longer they can hold that feeling, that state online, the more they're able to acclimate to it. And then the next time that experience happens, it's a little bit easier, and then the next, and the next, and so on. Shame is always hard, so it's, I don't think anybody feels great. And therapists are very subject to feeling shame in a therapy session, especially with certain personalities. And if the therapist is not able to regulate shame, that can really knock them out of the park and out of commission for a good amount of time. So there's all different ways of working with it, working with yourself, working, you know, with another person, working in therapy. But it's a deeply painful state that's akin to literally being cut open, as it would be in surgery, or if you cut yourself, the same system is activated, the very same system. And so we have to look at it as not just a psychological issue, but it's also a biological problem. People can faint from feeling deep, deep shame.
For some further thoughts on these ideas, here's Bill O'Hanlon.
it's an isolating experience. It's like, you've done something bad, go away. And it's either a brief shunning or it's a, you know, it's a more serious shunning. And I think some people withdraw because of shame. They, you know, we've heard about this immobilization or this physiological shutdown. So a couple of things come to mind in terms of how do you translate this into clinical stuff. One is this very simple imago technique that when a person in the relationship has gone weird, you know, that you, they've gotten a reaction and it's shame-based reaction, the imago therapists have this really interesting idea is that your partner, if your partner is committed to making the relationship better, sits down on the couch with you, you put your head in their lap if you're feeling this shame response, and they stroke your hair gently and ask you, what's something that happened when you were very young that's related to what just happened? And you relate this when your mother yelled at you or your father shamed you and called you stupid or something, whatever it is, you just relate that and they listen. They don't comment. They just listen empathically. And that physical touch seems to be calming physiologically, and that connection seems to be calming. And so let me just connect this to a particular clinical situation I had. I had a couple, and one person was really shame-based. And when they would get into an argument, the other person would get so mad that they'd withdraw. And the other person thought they were, then the person who was shamed thought that they were the most terrible person in the world, and they were bad and evil and, you know, terrible, and they weren't loved, and they were being abandoned, and they freaked out, and then it led to more and more trouble. So we worked out this thing, and it was very simple, that the person who was mad and the usual response was to withdraw, when they heard that their partner would feel all ashamed and, you know, get all weird and then sort of attacking actually in response, that person who typically withdraw just agreed to reach out and touch their partner on the knee just with one finger. That was all they could muster at that point because they were so mad and wanted to withdraw. But touching one finger, and the other person just instant relaxed. It's like, oh, she doesn't think I'm the worst Paleolithic pond slime that ever crawled out of the swamp. You know, I'm not a terrible person. And the shame would lift, and then they could deal with whatever it was. They didn't go into their usual back and forth where they would trigger each other. And that physical touch, and you go back to this physiology we've been hearing about from these experts, is that physical touch is calming, because you think we were raised in tribes and we're sort of primates. That physical touch can be reassuring, as long as it's not dangerous physical touch. It can be reassuring and calm the physiology and therefore calm the shame response.
We heard some different ways to help people suffering from a deep sense of shame. In the next module, we'll look at one skill that can help you become more attuned to your client's shame. I'll see you there.